With Radio On The Go News, I'm Brian Fancher reporting. More rain is needed to help Iowa's corn and soybean crops. ISU Extension field agronomist Angie Reekens tells Radio On The Go News that since April 1st, Hampton has been below normal for precipitation.
Minus 7.7 inches of rainfall from average. And while that doesn't seem all that significant, we didn't come into this growing season with a lot of extra moisture in that soil profile. So we just don't have a lot of reserve to draw on this time of the year when we're in some of our crucial corn growing stages. So that's been a concern. And then even when I look at other areas like Eldora is exceptionally dry. They are 45% behind their average precipitation. So that's something like minus 9.25 inches.
Reekens says the dry pattern is allowing spider mites to attack soybean fields.
You need to get out there along those field edges and places and look in that lower canopy, and then you get what looks like mottled or stippled yellowish green leaves. They are extremely tiny, so they're not noticeable to people just, you know, looking from the top. You got to get down in there and dig in that lower canopy. And then even then, I would put a piece of white paper or a couple pieces of white paper between those rows and shake those soybeans over the top. And then if you see what looks like little moving tiny specks of dirt, those are probably spider mites. Spider mites can be a serious pest threat in soybean, causing anywhere from 40 to 60% yield loss on top of what we're seeing in these dry conditions.
She says spider mites have also been found in cornfields, but they tend to focus more on soybean plants. A 50-year-old Eagle Grove man who conspired to distribute methamphetamine was sentenced this week to 5 years in federal prison. Donovan Lowler had been convicted of one count of conspiracy to distribute methamphetamine and possession with the intent to distribute meth. Lowler admitted that he conspired to distribute more than 5 pounds of pure methamphetamine from January 2019 through March 2020 in the Wright and Webster County areas. Yesterday morning, the Hardin County Sheriff's Department arrested 34-year-old Megan Young Carr of New Providence, who was wanted on two warrants, one for failing to appear from the original charge of possession of methamphetamine, the other for a probation violation from the original charges of an OWI and for possession of marijuana. Young Carr was later released from the Hardin County Jail. This morning, the Hampton Police Department arrested 32-year-old Jeremy Bridges of Hampton on the charges of domestic abuse, assault while displaying or using a weapon, and for obstruction of emergency communications. Bridges is being held at the Franklin County Law Enforcement Center. This morning about 1:15, a Cerro Gordo County deputy attempted a traffic stop after a vehicle was seen driving at a high rate of speed away from the area of a suspect's residence who was wanted on several arrest warrants. 48-year-old John Wayne Robson of Mason City attempted to flee in a 2012 Honda Odyssey going down County Road B20 and then south on Highway 65 into Mason City. Robson reached speeds of up to 100 miles per hour on Highway 65. When he attempted to go west on 16th Street Northwest, he lost control of his van and crashed into the residence at 1542 North Federal Avenue, causing severe damage to the vehicle and to the foundation of the home. Robson was arrested and taken to Mercy One North Iowa Medical Center to be checked for any injuries. He had warrants for voluntary absence and escape as a felon, an habitual offender, and for third-degree burglary. After the pursuit, Robson was also charged with eluding, driving under suspension, and for possession of drug paraphernalia. A passenger in the van, 54-year-old Mary Elizabeth Robson of Mason City, was also arrested and charged with possession of marijuana. Both are being held at the Cerro Gordo County Jail. Jason Robson also fled from law enforcement on foot during early yesterday afternoon in the same area of his residence and got away at that time. A 40-year-old Mason City woman has been charged with 3 felony counts of burglary and a felony count of criminal mischief for allegedly breaking into a home in Floyd County last month. The state alleges Sarah Schilling broke into the residence in the 1200 block of 215th Street near Rockford and stole items on more than one occasion. 2 safes were also damaged, Schilling being held at the Blackhawk County Jail. This week, the Hancock County Board of Supervisors discussed the situation with a chiller unit used at the Law Enforcement Center. Chillers are basically large air conditioning units, but they work slightly differently because of their size as they generate chilled water, which is used to provide air conditioning in buildings. The chiller unit at the Hancock County Law Enforcement Center, 40 years old, so the supervisors decided to fix what could be repaired for now and will look into a whole new system. The Cerro Gordo County Community Foundation held its 2021 Grant Awards celebration at the Ventura Community Center yesterday, announcing the distribution over $100,000 in grants to 30 projects of organizations serving Cerro Gordo County. Among those receiving grants include the City of Doherty Fire Department, which received $6,665 for a bunker gear upgrade. The City of Swaledale Fire Department received $5,000 for an equipment brush truck. The Missouri Fire and Rescue Foundation received $5,300 for turnout gear, and the Rockwell-Swaledale Emergency Medical Team received $3,000 for pager replacement. The Emerald Ash Borer has been confirmed in five more Iowa counties in 2021, including Wright County in the broadcast area. Insect samples were collected from ash trees in rural Dalles earlier this year, and officials with the USDA confirmed these samples positive for EAB. The insect has now been found in 81 of Iowa's 99 counties, including Butler, Cerro Gordo, Floyd, Franklin, Grundy, Hardin, and Wright counties in the broadcast area. Joe Herrig, a district forester with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources in Iowa Falls, tells Radio On the Go News the insect's fairly saturated in the southeastern two-thirds of the state.
We do still want to prevent people from taking ash firewood or dead ash trees out of their counties as much as possible. Although there's no legal quarantine right now from one county to the next, it is legal to move firewood. We just want to really discourage that as much as we can as a good practice. So if you have dead ash trees and your firewood cutter, try to just keep it right there in the same town or the same county, if at all possible, so you don't spread it to any other areas.
And he says the DNR is encouraging the public to stay ahead of the problem and remove and replace infected trees.
You don't want to wait until it's totally dead before you take action to remove it, because they become dangerous and brittle pretty quick. So the other efforts that we're trying to do from the DNR standpoint is encourage people to keep planting trees. It's really just as simple as that, because it's like a human population. You know, to sustain ourselves, we just have to keep replacing and regenerating, and that's the same with trees. There's always things out there that will kill trees: diseases, pests, storms, derechos. The sustainable long-term solution is just adding new trees and diversifying our tree population as much as we can, so we don't have any major pests impacting just a single species.
EAB was first discovered in Iowa in 2010. One of the highest temperatures reported in Iowa yesterday was 101 degrees at Corning. It was 99 at Spencer, Lamar's 97, and it was also 94 degrees yesterday in Hampton. Today's guest on the Radio On The Go Newsmaker program, Butler County Engineer John Reichert, discussed the condition of the bridges the Secondary Roads Department and his office are responsible for in the county. The Radio On The Go Newsmaker program airs weekdays during the noon hour on KLMJ, with archive programs available under the News tab at radioonthego.com. For Radio On The Go News, Brian Fancher reporting.